to Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
You think we've gotten too radical with our message? Well, I got news for you. You ain't heard nothing yet. And if you don't know, now you know. Glory, glory!
Dance together on a Tuesday and grab the rain gear. Rain gear. Hadn't started yet. There is some shower activity in the area throughout Central Texas, and that's the case all day. Mentioned to start the show, about 9 o'clock it's supposed to start raining, and now it says 10 o'clock, but either way, not going to stop. It's going to rain most of the day today. Heavy rains in some spots, so be ready for that. It's supposed to rain, at least a chance for rain, rest of the week as well. As we get you going, it's a Tuesday with a lot going on. The new name that has emerged for Texas, potentially, in their search for a defensive coordinator, the first defensive coordinator for new head coach Steve Sarkisian. Also, we mentioned Texans and Eric Bieniemy. Is there some smoke there? We will keep an eye on that. And, Buck, you know, Philadelphia, the Eagles need a head coach, and you talked about how toxic that organization is right now, too. There is word that New England Patriots offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels might be the emerging candidate to replace Doug Peterson as head coach there, which would surprise me, Buck, if all this comes down and the Texans, you know, if you're the Texans and you can't land Eric Bieniemy, you'd be silly not to talk to Doug Peterson, right? I mean, this is a guy that just won a Super Bowl 3 years ago, but, you know, and then fractured his relationship with Howie Roseman, the GM, and they got at odds. And, of course, the Jalen Hurts versus Carson Wentz situation there. But pretty high-level coach right there, but we'll keep an eye on it. The Bieniemy name is interesting. What about Josh McDaniels in Philly? Do anything for you?
No, not really.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they're also looking at Todd Bowles, and Todd Bowles, you know, he was in New York, but, man, when you look at Todd Bowles' record, it's not even close. I mean, it was not that good, and I know the Jets aren't that good, and they weren't that good when he was there, but they were kind of feisty and played pretty good defense. They were never really much on offense, but defensively, Todd Bowles can absolutely coach. We see that as he's the defensive coordinator for Tampa Bay right now, but – I don't know. I don't know. I can't see. They've got to do some things. Philadelphia's pretty good defensively. You know what I mean? They just had a bunch of injuries. They got a pretty salty defensive line. What they need is to get their offense cranked up a little bit. So he'd have to, Bowles went there, or no matter what, Josh McDaniels, he's going there strictly to get the offense going. But Todd Bowles, I don't see him in as much of an offensive mind than I do a defensive guy.
Yeah,
they've got good defense.
Yeah, Bowles is a Bill Parcells, you know, disciple. He comes from that tree, and, and Bill Parcells has given him a big endorsement. Thinks if he's on the right place with good talent, he can win and lead an organization. Because that's the number one job of a head football coach, right, Buck? Is you got to lead. You got to lead men, right? These are grown men,
right?
And they all know how to play football. They've been vetted. They went through combines and drafts, and you know they've been coached their whole lives. They're the best at what they do. So you're managing egos and you're leading men. I mean, that's the first thing you have to be able to do. And then you have to have X and O and all that stuff. That's obviously important, but you got to be a leader of people and a leader of grown men. You know, it's something we talk about with Steve Sarkisian at Texas. The first job is to be a leader, to build relationships with your players on the recruiting trail to begin with, but then in your to maximize their ability. And that's the goal, right? I mean, they're at a place like Texas. You know, why are these highly recruited 4- and 5-star players not playing up to potential? That's up to the coach and this coaching staff to build those relationships and coach them up to play at the highest level. That's why the consistency of Alabama has been something to behold. I mean, it's wonderful recruiting and identifying top talent, but then developing that top talent and maximizing it. And then the cherry on top is all those X's and O's and those fancy plays, right, that Steve Sarkisian runs. But it all begins with development and getting the most out of those players and maximizing their talent.
Yeah, well, you have to have real true relationships. You have to – there's give and take in relationships, and especially with the coach and player. You've got your times to jack around with your players when you get to know them, but they have to understand how you're about winning and you're about putting them in the best situations. They don't need a buddy. They got enough buddies on the football team. They don't need their coach to be their buddy. They need their coach to be their leader, and that's with every position. And I think that's – sometimes that's hard because – you know, the modern-day young coach right now who's coaching, he tends to want to be the buddy with the players because kids grow up that way. Do you love me? Do you really, really care about me? what you want to do is be able to love them, care for them, but be able to coach them hard and tell them this isn't right. What you're doing is not right, and you continue to do something wrong, then I've got to get another player in there. You just need to understand that. I still like you, but I'm not your buddy. I'm your coach.
Yeah.
And the players have to believe in the leadership. You know, they have to believe they have to believe that you really, really can lead them. You know, and I think players are more tending to want to be buddies with their coach than coach wants to be buddy with their player. You know how that is. That's just human nature. You know what I'm saying? Your kids want to be your buddy too. And I think every father and mother go through that. They want to be your friend. Well, I'm not your friend.
Yeah, but
I'm your dad.
But there does,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but
it doesn't mean I don't care for you. But I'm gonna love you hard. I'm not gonna, you know, everything you do, I'm not gonna put my arms around you and we're gonna sit and talk about it. Sometimes you may get an ass whooping here or there. You know what I mean? Something hard is going to happen to you during the course of that. So I think players, if you get them to respect that part of you, I think you can really have some success. Nick Saban gets that. I mean, what he does is they expect him to give the best. He's changed the way he coaches, but when it comes down to it, they want to be coached hard and they want to be the best.
Yeah, that's right. But you got to start with the connection and the respect from
the
one another.
Relationship.
And
yes.
I think you said it right. I think players want to know that you're going to put them in the best positions to succeed, and you're going to, and you can lead them to their best, and as a team as well. And that's at every level. And I think Tom Herman, that was part of the failing at Texas. And you know, we still get people that say they think Deshaun Watson's being immature in this whole situation with the Texans, and I vehemently disagree. I think Deshaun Watson sees exactly what you say, that the owner is a buffoon, and he can't lead this organization, and he believes in prayer circles and ridiculous stuff that doesn't win football games over hiring great coaches and leaders of men to coach men.
He believes in lying. Lying's just no good for
right.
anything.
It doesn't, well, yeah, the lying's the biggest.
It doesn't work.
Right, but
it doesn't work whether you're dope
he's
or you're
just not
smart,
up for the he's not up for the job.
Lying.
Well, and the yeah. Exactly. But there's a lack of respect both ways, because when you lie to somebody, that's not respectful of
right.
your quarterback. And I understand Deshaun Watson's frustration. I think Deshaun Watson is a very mature 25-year-old who can see what's going on in that organization and understands this is, I mean, I've locked myself in here, and this is not winnable. This is not tenable. And you know what? I think there were times for Sam Ehlinger at Texas that he felt that way. We talk about frustration that he would just see some of the things going on within the team and in the locker room saying, this is, you know, that's frustrating for a player that you want to be maximized. You want things to – you want to be put in that best situation, and you want it to be real.
It's hard to trust people if they're constantly lying to you. I mean, it's just that doesn't work in any form of life. If you consistently lie to people and you become a liar, then they look at you, no matter what you say, they will always question whatever you say. If you're a consistent liar and the people that are around you know that you lie to them all the time, then – When can they trust you? It doesn't matter what it is. It's just tell the guy the truth. I mean, the truth is kind of hard to even if you feel a certain way, even if you like Bible study, even if that's what you want, tell them what you're about. They'll respect you more for that than if you lie to them.
Yeah, and that's been the issue with Deshaun, and we'll see. Deshaun Watson in Houston, and Texans looking for a new coach, but what a mess that is. We'll get to some of there's some possible trade scenarios out there. I don't think the Texans are at that point, but it may get to that with their star quarterback, and what could you bring back in a haul for the 25-year-old all-pro, or pro bowler, I should say. All right, quick headlines, trending topics, a lot going on, and breaking news through the show this morning. Let's get to it. Sinus and snoring experts bring you the headlines. Let's start with news from Major League Baseball, where a disturbing situation with the New York Mets. Mets have fired this morning their general manager, Jared Porter, for actions and his deeds while a member of the Chicago Cubs organization back in 2016. Mets yesterday released a statement acknowledging that they were made aware that their general manager made a serious error in judgment back in 2016 when he sent provocative pictures of himself to a female reporter. Unsolicited pictures to a female reporter. Today they have fired their general manager. Also, with news from basketball last night, college hoops, Waco, Big 12 top 10 battle. How about the Baylor Bears routing Kansas 77-69? Score was closer than the ball game as the Bears led by as many as 20 in that game. They improved to 13-0. They've won all 13 games by at least 8 points. After the game, an impressed Bill Self conceded that having played both Gonzaga and Baylor this season now, there's a pretty big gap, he thinks, between those two and the rest.
Well, I would be shocked if there's a third that fits into that category. We saw Gonzaga actually run it right down our throat right from the beginning. We saw Baylor do the same thing tonight. So the games were actually pretty similar. Baylor, I think, had us down 14 or 16 or something, and Gonzaga had us down the same thing. And I don't know which one I'd say better. They're both terrific.
Let's not forget, fifth-ranked Texas laid a beating on Kansas as well. They're number five in the country, as we say. They are now going to enjoy an unplanned week off after their second scheduled game for the week has been postponed. On yesterday, we told you that the game with Iowa State Wednesday night would be pushed back. Yesterday came word, late yesterday, for the TCU, that head coach Jamie Dixon, that he will have to quarantine, and they will not be able to play this Saturday's game with the Longhorns. That's now three games the Longhorns have to make up, all road games. Conference has left the final week of the regular season open for those games. College football, bombshell from the SEC yesterday. Tennessee has announced that they have fired head football coach Jeremy Pruitt after an internal investigation. They fired him for cause for what they say were a number of significant and serious NCAA rules violations. Pruitt has denied the findings. His attorney, through his attorney, said that they believe it's based in financial convenience, not fact. 16-19, he went in three seasons in with the Vols. NFL sent word to all 32 teams yesterday that the 2021 NFL Scouting Combine has been significantly altered due to concerns about COVID-19. Essentially not going to have it. There are no in-person on-field workouts, person-to-person, or meetings, or medical evaluations, so essentially no Combine. It's been held every year since 1987. One prospect who would have been at that Combine, well, now won't be. Ohio State quarterback Justin Fields has made it official. He is entering the 2021 NFL Draft. And a busy day in the NBA yesterday and last night. Game of the night was out in on the West Coast, where the Golden State Warriors rallied from down pretty big to beat the L.A. Lakers in a great basketball game there. They get the victory. Meanwhile, the Spurs routed Portland, Toronto routed the Mavericks, and the Rockets lost to the Bulls.
This hour brought to you by Sinus and Snoring Specialists. Get sinus and snoring relief with Dr. Daniel Slaughter at Sinus and Snoring Specialists, 512-601-0303 or sinussnoringent.com.
I do find those Bill Self comments interesting, Buck, and here's a texture that says maybe Kansas just isn't that good. Well, I think that's fair. Kansas has lost back-to-back games for the first time in almost a decade in Big 12 play. They're not a great offensive team at Kansas. They don't have that go-to scorer. There's no Azubuike down low like they had last year that was so dominant. And so this isn't your normal Kansas team. But Bill Self saying that having played both, that he thinks Baylor and Gonzaga are a wide, there's a wide separation between them and the rest of college basketball. That observation has been made by many an analyst and many an observer. But for the head coach of the Jayhawks to say that, and leaving a team like Texas, who beat them by 25 at Fog Allen Fieldhouse, out of that conversation, you know, speaks to how good he thinks they are. But at the same time, Texas has two games with Baylor. So, you know, Texas can be in that conversation when they play the Bears, but they're going to have to deal with a guy like
Jared. We can never get to that point.
I know they are going to play two games with the Bears in a pretty close amount of time, because you know this season is getting compressed, and the Longhorns now have three makeup games to be played. And as I said in the headlines, they're all on the road. So if you're a Longhorn fan in Shockett Smart, you're looking at the same. Wait a second, and you can't control these things, so you can't get bent out of shape about it. But it's worth observing that Horns could get to the end of the regular season, end of February, and then all of a sudden have three straight road games to go play to make up these games that aren't being played. That's not ideal, but it's 2021 or 2020 is what it is. You know, he's got to go deal with it. But then one of those games against Baylor.
Yeah, absolutely. The deal on Jeremy Pruitt is really, really interesting. Coach Fulmer now is now retiring too. He's done.
He's forced out.
And, which makes everybody start to think, what did he have anything to do with this? But
I think he's fired for the extension, right? I mean, he oversaw this mess, and it is a mess.
Yes, he did.
You're firing a coach who you owed a lot of money to, and because Tennessee says we were informed of possible allegations, so we launched an internal investigation and have uncovered these misdeeds. So we're firing our coach, and we're firing a couple of assistant coaches for cause. This is our job. Same time, you know, a lot of folks in and around the SEC are saying, wait a second, they just didn't want to pay this guy. They wanted to move on and not pay the buyout.
Right.
So they launched an investigation, hoping or expecting they would find something they could pin on this guy. And that's what his attorney is saying. Jeremy Pruitt's firing back, saying, wait a second. I mean, come on. If there were a couple assistant coaches doing things I was unaware of and you uncovered that, You can't fire me for that. So obviously Jeremy Pruitt's fighting for his name, his ability to get another job, and he's also, you know, fighting for that buyout. But Phil Fulmer's stepping aside because he's overseeing this entire mess.
True. He's retiring. He's just not stepping aside. They stepped him aside. It sounds like the way it's ending up, and it's a lot of cash. We're talking about one of those Tom Herman kind of deals, like $15 million.
It's like 12 to 15.
Oh, you're going to fight for that. You're going to get a lawyer, and you know you're going to fight for that kind of money. You're not just going to walk away for that for cause, and especially if a couple assistants, you know, were out kind of being renegades. And it all depends on what it is. If you're found out that, I mean, I think it's also about a 2020, a 2021 recruit.
2022, so I think.
Yeah, you can find out if somebody's giving mom or dad a job or straight out cash. That's going to be found out. Now, if the kid's just barking that, well, they gave me this or they gave me that, they're going to look all this stuff up. Now, if your assistant coaches are out paying straight up cash for players, then you're probably going to fall under the heading. You're going to take the sword for that one, too. That's going to be on you. But if it's some menial thing like he took an extra visit or he had contact with the kid that when he wasn't, you know, during a non-contact time, I'm going to fight for my money for that.
Yeah, and Phil Fulmer, the outgoing AD, his letter to Jeremy Pruitt, you know, explaining why he's being terminated for cause. He said, "Your failures and are likely to lead to significant penalties to the university and has jeopardized the eligibility of our student athletes." So, you know, Tennessee players were summoned to a meeting late on Monday to lay everything out. But again, this will be a fight in court. You know, this will become, you know, who knew what when, and it was all spearheaded by Tennessee. And that becomes, you know, the issue. I mean, obviously, he's got his own personal legal issue against the university. He wants that money, and you know this in coaching, Buck. You don't want that scarlet letter of being, you know, fired for cause. If you can not get it, you'll get the show cause issue from the NCAA. But for Tennessee, there is a wide belief that Jeremy Pruitt was the program was kind of like with Tom Herman. It was going in a really bad direction. He won 8 games his first year, and they thought they had the right guy, and he got the extension.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been terrible since. They went 3-7 this year, and in the 7 losses, Buck, outside of, I think every loss was by double digits. I mean, they just were non-competitive against the SEC this year. And so in looking to make a change, this was what they come up with. We'll see. And who's going to take the job? That becomes an issue now. You got to hire the next guy or next person.
Well, they've had enough of them at Tennessee. Somebody will take it.
Well, the name Tom Herman has circulated, too, by the way, in the immediate aftermath
of town. Get out of town.
When, you know how people throw out names. What about Tom Herman? He's available. Because of what, you know, Phil Fulmer's own letter says, well, your actions may have led to severe punishment to our program, which, you know, you're walking into a program that's not very good. Plus, here comes the NCAA that could have, you know, drop a bit of a hammer on the program. So can you attract a top-end coach? What's available? You know, Tom Herman's available. I mean, you know, guys like that are going to be on the market. So we'll keep an eye on.
That's really not out of the question. It wasn't like Tom Herman won 20% of his games or 30% of his games while at Texas.
No.
I mean,
I
you're
think
right.
we talked about all the reasons. Look, Tom Herman's agent, Trace Armstrong, can make a strong case. The guy went 7-3 this year, went 4-0 in bowl games, you know, won a New Year's One bowl in his second year. Program was much better that, you know, when he was done than when he found it and when he got there. So, you know, all the things we've talked about with Tom Herman, he's still planning to coach football somewhere. So we'll watch that story. And by the way, Kevin Steele, the defensive coordinator, he's now an interim coach for the second time in like 2 months. He took over for Gus Malzahn when he was fired at Auburn, and subsequent to that, once Gus Malzahn was replaced by Brian Harsin at Auburn, and Kevin Steele was not retained. Jeremy Pruitt hired Kevin Steele to be his defensive coordinator at Tennessee, in a big get, they felt like, and now Pruitt's out, and so Kevin Steele again has been named interim head coach for the second time in a few months. Nice.
I know, you just unpack your bags and go somewhere else. The next thing you know, the new coach could come in and say goodbye to you.
Oh yeah, knowing that.
And most likely will.
Knowing that. And maybe Kevin Steele becomes a candidate for the job. I don't know.
That's true.
I mean, because, you know, that whole Auburn thing with Gus Malzahn, if you read deep on that, I mean, it was some prominent boosters that got you know, they wanted Kevin Steele to be the head coach. I mean, that was really what led to Gus Malzahn being out, that there was a new AD that was seen as vulnerable, and kind of like we've seen at Texas at times, the money who backed Kevin Steele and felt like that was the best thing for the program, you know, pushed Gus Malzahn out. They collected the money to buy out Gus Malzahn's big, massive contract, and they were trying to push Kevin Steele into that gig, and the new AD and the new president at Auburn said, no, we're not going there. We're doing a national search. We're going to hire the right guy, not your guy. And they end up with Brian Harsin. So time will tell, but you know that the big money guys at Auburn wanted their guy. But Kevin Steele landed at Tennessee. He may end up a candidate for the Volunteers job, you know, big picture. But I don't, again, that's very, very early on. This just dropped yesterday.
Interesting.
This says that would be just like Rick Barnes to Tennessee, Tom Herman to Tennessee.
Yeah?
Yeah, well.
Like, once again, his resume isn't one of 20% wins. I mean, he's one.
62% for Tom Herman while at Texas. And but 7-3 in the final year, and a lot of close games, a lot of 3-1 score losses at Texas this year. They were there, but obviously we've documented and talked about the issues that were multi, but then why the program was going in a bad direction.
Legitimate issues. But when you talk about Tom Herman around the...
Oh, geez, there goes the buck. We'll get that reconnected. Fortunately or unfortunately, we're right here at the break time. We'll get a quick timeout. We'll get Bucky reconnected out there at his house in Dripping Springs, where he is doing the show from this morning. Still not able to taste, but he can smell now, which is a good thing. So we'll get the update from the buck. Also, we'll pick up these stories. And there is a name out there for Texas and a potential defensive coordinator that they are targeting and zeroing in on. We'll reset that story. We'll get salacious gossip and your blitz before the end of the hour. And we continue our countdown of the 100 most requested wedding songs of all time on our comeback music. We'll be ready for that as well. It's Beanie on the Horn.
Nothing too terribly serious going on that's causing major problems, although we're noticing on 183 from I-35 to Lamar, things are slow both directions there. And 290 westbound, making your way toward Old Kimbrough Road, coming out of the Manor area, it's backed up. Northbound I-35 from Slaughter to Stassney, things are slow. And then from Oldthorpe to Cesar Chavez, stop and go. Those are normal delays, though, for this time of day. We do have a little problem on 183A heading toward Toll 45 on the northwest side. A little problem there, a little bit of a stalled vehicle causing some issues. And as far as everything else goes, a stalled northbound frontage I-35 at Manor Road, a collision FM-1327 at Turnersville Road on the south side. Crews trying to wrap that one up for you. I'm Don Miller. There's your traffic.
QC Kinetics, folks, right here in Austin, and helping folks through their pain. That's important, right? Words matter. Not helping folks mask their pain or, you know, help the pain subside for a short amount of time, which is what is typical right now for you. If you live your life in chronic pain in an achy joint, old sports injury, arthritis, you know, your knees, your hips, your back, your shoulder, QC Kinetics and their regenerative cell treatments help you get through the pain and help your body heal itself. These are phenomenal procedures. And had a good buddy of mine who had texted me and said, hey, these things really work. I've got this golfer elbow, this tennis elbow thing that flares up, driving me crazy. I'd love to get in and get some relief. I said, absolutely. My wife went through the procedure on a shoulder of hers. She had kind of a locked up shoulder, old cheerleader injury that she had. It just got worse and worse with age and time. And I was really, my wife couldn't sleep at night, couldn't find a comfortable resting position, throbbed at night, couldn't get through it. Well, QC Kinetics, last year we went through the procedures, the treatments, and is feeling so much better a year plus later. And you can too. Get through the treatments. Don't just mask them with pain pills, which we know that those come with issues, with the steroid injections every now and again, which are going to wear off. Get in and talk to our friends at QC Kinetics and their revolutionary regenerative cell treatments using your body's own healthy blood cells to help rejuvenate and heal the affected area and get you back up into the game. And it's 512-593-4303. That's 512-593-4303 at QC Kinetics.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
I got a feeling.
Oh, no. B&E with you on a Tuesday. There it is, Buck. That is numero uno on the list, top of the mark of the 100 most requested wedding reception song. Black Eyed Peas.
Really?
I Got a Feeling. From Bride Magazine.
I Got a Feeling?
Yeah, this is the... Now, I think, you know, these are not the songs played like when they... bride and groom walk in for the first time. These are the songs requested
I got
when
it.
The dancing begins of the wedding DJ, which What's more fun than being a wedding
DJ? You mean
DJ?
Like the drunkest guy will walk over and say, hey, can you play I Got a Feeling one time?
Yeah, can you give
can
me
give
some?
Give me one time, but I got a feeling.
When are we doing the chicken dance?
Yeah.
Come on.
Is the chicken dance in there? It's got to be in there somewhere.
Okay. All right, so now there is actually a report out there that is confirmed that it's a done deal. And we've talked about it throughout the morning. We told you that there was word from the Great Northwest that the Longhorns may have, and Steve Sarkisian may have, zeroed in on their newest defensive coordinator. And throughout the course of the show, there had been more and more Longhorn-centric sites picking up on the story. And now a report that, or at least one suggestion, that this is a done deal with Kwiatkowski. Who's been at Washington. I was at Boise State before that with Chris Peterson, Jimmy Lake, who took over for Chris Peterson. They've been the anchors of that defense. And Steve Sarkisian, of course, was at Washington when then Chris Peterson came in and replaced him when he went to USC. So we'll keep an eye on that this morning as it develops. There are some suggesting that it could be a done deal. And if it is, you'll hear it here first, right here on the Horn, live and local throughout the course of this day. But Pete Kwiatkowski from Washington, the name to listen for. And it would indicate, as we talked about way back when it was just a name we put out there, Buck, at 6 o'clock, that this does look like that Steve Sarkisian and Chris Del Conte were looking to do a nationwide search, find the right fit to fit that puzzle that Steve Sarkisian had talked about. You know, the Pete Golding thing at Alabama. We heard about Zach Arnett at Mississippi State. Early on, you heard Will Muschamp's name, but he decided he didn't want to get right back into high-level coaching, was going to, you know, count some money and do his thing as maybe as an analyst at Georgia.
Right.
But this one, you know, coast to coast, out to Washington to find a defensive coordinator who will fit what they want to do scheme-wise. You know that, Buck, when you're a coach, you have an idea of what type of defense you'd like to play. You've mentioned this, that offensive coaches understand what type of defense gives them trouble. And what type of defenses are the toughest to game plan against, and even, you know, pregame and then in game. So obviously, if this is the call, it's going to be a name kind of out of left field for a lot of people. Steve Sarkisian knew what he was looking for in his first coordinator at that position.
Yeah, he knew that exactly. And like I said, when you're already hiring your other coaches, you're just expecting this guy to come in and be the coordinator, which he is. I mean, the coordinate. What you believe are some pretty good coaches that you've hired. So your main gig is to stop offenses in the Big 12, but your other main gig is to make sure that you coordinate yourself with the rest of these other guys that I have hired, not that you have given the okay for. And Steve Sarkisian has made it known that he wants the kind of people that he wants on his staff, whether it's offense, defense, special teams, you know, classroom, stuff like that. He's the guy who is orchestrating this. You know what I mean? I'm not saying he's trying to be the boss, but he knows what he's looking for, and I like that. I mean, I kind of like that. He's got his thumb on all this stuff, and now if this is the right guy to be the coordinator, then now they go from there. Now it'll be the coordinator's job to get along with everybody else right now.
Yeah, and there's one other spot, which if you're looking into the bio of Kwiatkowski, he played at Boise and then, you know, began his coaching career. He's always coached linebackers, typically outside linebackers, and there is a spot mm-hmm. there. So we'll see what that fifth and final, if indeed he is the hire, does he bring one assistant with him from Washington potentially, or there needs to be a final, because we know Bo Davis has been the name on the defensive line. The name Blake Gideon was immediate in there, the former Texas player coming in from Ole Miss, and Terry Joseph, the secondary coach from Notre Dame. So those three guys in place, this would be the coordinator of the defense, and there's one other spot. The name Tosh Lupoy has been out there as well, the defensive line coach, who's coached a lot of positions in his day. And, you know, when you listen to Steve Sarkisian's words, when he talked about jigsaw puzzle, he then followed that up with, you need some guys who are great developers. You want guys who are great recruiters with recruiting ties that are dynamic in that regard. Because, Buck, remember, you only get 10 guys, right? And they all coach a position. And those are the only 10 that can get onto into living rooms and you know, recruit actively players. So you want some of everything, developers, recruiters, and a good mix. And certainly Blake Gideon brings Texas ties. Terry Joseph, before he was at Notre Dame, was at Texas A&M and was on the recruiting trail there. And Bo Davis has always been a dynamic recruiter and developer of defensive line talent at wherever he's been, most recently in the NFL with the Detroit Lions. And so, you know, if this is the Washington hire, Kwiatkowski, you're looking at scheme. And I was looking at some numbers that Washington, one of the things they did very, very well in the Pac-12 was handle that Mike Leach offense at Washington State in the Apple Cup. Always used to throttle that thing down. And look, you're hiring a coordinator for your conference too, Buck. And, you know, some would say that maybe the SEC not the fit that you're looking for. Find someone who schemes against this type of offense very, very well, the spread offenses that are predominant in the Big 12 conference.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, that's what you're looking for. You're looking for a guy that's going to be able to handle what they do in the Big 12. As I said, you already got your defensive backfield all set up. You got your defensive line coach set up now. You need a guy to coordinate what's going to happen to him in the Big 12 in order to beat Lincoln Riley and Matt Campbell. That's what you're looking to do right now.
That's right.
That's where your mind is right now. How do I beat these guys? And if this guy brings his expertise in that, then I've got the guys. I think it'll be good defensive backfield coaches. And I've got a good D-line coach, so let's coordinate this stuff because they're always going to have to beat Lincoln Riley. That's just the way to get to the championship. And, you know, it seems like that game comes pretty early every year.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean.
Earlier and earlier.
Well, we said when Steve Sarkisian was hired, this will be his most important hire, the defensive coordinator, and it'll be the most scrutinized hire. I mean, it really, really will.
Yes, it will be.
Because he is, as you just said, Buck, I mean, you know, the Steve Sarkisian versus Lincoln Riley thing is one thing, but it's the defensive coordinator that's got a scheme against Lincoln Riley and Matt Campbell's offense and what comes at you in the Big 12. That's the guy that and that staff, that side of the ball, most important at this point, and we shall see. And you know,
yeah, and expectations are you're going to have to do this right away because Oklahoma's team is going to be better than they were even this year. So
well, Spencer
they won
Rattler
the championship
be
this year. Yeah, well, that defense is going to be better, too.
Yeah.
So,
well, even as it stands now, as excited as Texas fans can be about this coaching change in the staff, Oklahoma's going to be the preseason favorite with the Big 12 Conference.
Oh, yeah.
And that's, you know, fair enough. They've won six straight, and so until proven otherwise. And
Matt Campbell, depending on who comes back with him, may be number two.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, that the established teams are there. Brock Purdy's likely to be back. And
right.
You know, those are the offensive minds that you've got to scheme against. And let's be, you know, the teams closest to beating Lincoln Riley and Oklahoma and unseating them as Big 12 champions. You know, last year it was Iowa State. They were in that championship game and lost by a touchdown. 2 years ago it was Baylor with Matt Rhule and what he did on the defensive side of the ball with Phil Snow in the defense to slow down Oklahoma, get themselves into that game and give them a chance. And the year before that it was Tom Herman at Texas with Todd Orlando. And they lost that game by a one-score game or a nine-point game in the Big 12 title game. This is the goal, to unseat Oklahoma because it starts there. I mean, no one's talking about Texas right now on par with Alabama because really no one is. But Alabama, right. Clemson, Ohio State, first goal is to win the Big 12. We all know that. That was the first goal
for
Tom Herman.
That is for sure.
And this is the guy, if this is indeed is the new defensive coordinator, whoever the hire was going to be, that'll be a much scrutinized and analyzed decision. Because that guy will be tasked with slowing down the high-powered offense of the Big 12, namely Oklahoma, with the Texas talent. So we'll watch that story emerge. Someone texted and said, Ian, any news on Eric Bieniemy? I will say that there is at least a story in the Houston Chronicle this morning written by Brian T. Smith, who's a columnist. Actually, Aaron Wilson. Brian T. Smith retweeted the story. But he wrote a story about the interview yesterday and says that there's growing momentum for Eric Bieniemy, not just for fans and Deshaun Watson, but maybe with the high-ranking brass of Texas. And he quotes in there Tony Dungy, Buck. I thought this was interesting. Tony Dungy told the Chronicle that he has followed Eric Bieniemy's career. He knows Eric Bieniemy really well, and he says it reminds him of himself because he spent, you know, several years, 7 or 8 years with Chuck Knoll. With the Pittsburgh Steelers, and he felt like being around a Hall of Fame coach like Chuck Knoll for that amount of time. When he finally got his opportunity, he was ready to go. He was a seasoned coach. He had brought his own, you know, things to the table. But being around a legendary coach like that for so long, and you know how intimate the whole coaching profession is, Tony Dungy said that's what he thinks with Eric Bieniemy. That, you know, Bieniemy, some people think Bieniemy with Andy Reid has hurt him. He thinks it's going to help him when indeed he does land a job, because you know, he'll take what he wants to be, but take a lot and absorb a lot from a guy like Andy Reid, who is seen as one of the best coaches, you know, the game has.
Well, how can you not? I mean, you'd be pretty silly not to learn from being around a guy like that. But there are right places and right times. And some would say, well, I mean, he's been looked over or whatever, but it doesn't matter. He's still young to the coaching ranks, and you want to be at a place where you can, you know, we always talk about have success, and I still just not. I just don't know about the Texans. I just don't. That's a a loaded gun right now with a lot of people with their hand on the trigger. So,
well, I mean,
that just scares me.
Well, let's play out the dots on that, right? And the exact Tony Dungy quote from the Chronicle story today was, you know, Eric has certain things he wants to do and still believes in. I feel whoever hires him is going to get the best of both worlds because he's a strong-willed coach. He's got belief in what he wants to do, but he's learned from a future Hall of Famer in Andy, and he said it reminds him of him. But, you know, if you're Eric Bieniemy, you've got a game to play this weekend and coach in this weekend, the AFC Championship game, and possibly beyond that, the Super Bowl. But at the same time, you know, if indeed there's growing support and all of a sudden the Texans make him their priority, you know, Eric Bieniemy want to hear and talk to Deshaun Watson before he does anything, right? I mean, that
oh, for sure.
That conversation will have to be facilitated where, you know, Bieniemy deals with his Chiefs situation, but there's got to be a sit-down or some type of personal conversation, because before you take that job in Houston, you got to know Deshaun Watson is not only there, he's on board. He's on board with where it's going, because, you know, if you know you've got that quarterback at 25 years old and you get to work with Nick Caserio, and that relationship's important too, the new general manager, and you two get to work together to fix the issues and build around that quarterback, you know, then all of a sudden maybe you think a little bit differently. But yes, you have to build a rapport with the general manager and your new boss, and then you have to get to that quarterback and find out where Deshaun Watson truly is, not just media reports, but where he is right now.
Well, as an organization, you're not there just to say you're one of the 32 teams. You're there to win
yep.
the games and get to the Super Bowl. It still is. It should still be about winning.
That's right.
And where everybody's focus should be. And like I said, everybody, you've said it before, everybody's not going to get along. Everybody's not going to want to go to church together. Everybody's not going to want to go party together. But your main focus should be about winning the games. So if they can get that together, I just don't know where they stand. I think we have to see what Caserian, what he's going to be about. Is he really going to be in full control, or when the big things start to happen, is the boss going to tell him what to do?
Yeah, Cal McNair.
Yeah.
Now, again, Cal McNair, whether he's got the wool pulled over his eyes by Jack Easterby, McNair has said, look, Easterby's just doing the life coach stuff, and he's handling some roles as a president with business and organization. You know, the football coach and the football will be handled by Nick Caserio and the new coach. So, but again, who believes anything Cal McNair says at this point? But Eric Bieniemy, a name to watch. And Pete Kwiatkowski from Washington, a name to watch for the Texas Longhorns on the defensive side of the ball. We'll keep you posted as news evolves with that story. We'll also load up the blitz. Good stuff yesterday. Let's see if we can bring it strong today. It is a Tuesday blitz on B&E. It's only as good as you make it. 447-3776. Make it good next. First, Craig Way.
The Horns text line is brought to you by Specs, a Texas-sized selection of wines, spirits, finer foods, and specialty beers. Cheers to savings.
Where you get that from? Did someone tell you that? Did someone tell you that? Because I ain't for no games, okay?
Salacious Gossip brought to you by the Bud Lights. Bud Light Skis. Hope you enjoy some through your football weekend. Getting ready for Championship Sunday. Makes the good times great, the great times unforgettable. Do it safe, be smart, be an adult with your adult beverage, but do it with the Bud Lights. Also the Bud Light Seltzer, which tastes like a hard seltzer, not a beer. Got that hint of fruit flavor, only 100 calories. The Bud Light Seltzers, it's what's on the inside that counts. All right, Buck, some salacious gossip stories, and we'll get more into this coming up because it's not, shouldn't be seen as a joke, but the firing of the general manager of the New York Metropolitans is certainly salacious. And it's terrible stuff. I mean, this guy, I was amazed that Steve Cohen didn't fire him yesterday, the new owner of the Mets. They admitted that they acknowledged that it happened 3 years ago. But when the new general manager of the Mets was with the Chicago Cubs, he was texting unresponsive texts, by the way, to a young lady who was a journalist who was from another country covering baseball,
yeah.
Covering the Mets, and covering the Cubs at the time. ESPN reported 62 unanswered text messages over a two-month span that culminated in a naked porter. And then, you know, he tried to play it off as a joke. And the reporting, very, very good by ESPN, Buck, because from her perspective, the journalist was so aghast at what was going on. She's now left journalism all, you know, completely, doesn't even want to be a part of it. And she said in one of the quotes to ESPN, she said, I know, she said, in the United States, women, there is a empowerment movement for women, but in my home country, it's still far behind. Women get dragged through the mud if your name is associated with any type of sexual scandal. Women are the ones who get fingers pointed at them. I don't want to go through that victimization process again. I don't want other people to blame me. So Ugly right. stuff then. Ugly stuff, that poor woman who's now left journalism altogether because of that situation and what stems from it. But he's now been fired as the GM of the Mets, and rightfully so.
Yeah, that's a good thing. Get him out of there.
Yeah, scumbag. Oh, gosh. Okay, so, Buck, the gossip, the lighter-hearted stuff is here. We've got, you ever been, you don't have young kids, but this is a growing trend. Children eco-shaming their parents. You know, that's a new term, eco-shaming. So when dad doesn't recycle something and throws it in the trash, eco-shaming. You get eco-shamed, leaving the water running,
All the time.
You do?
Yeah, because if I put styrofoam in the one thing, I get scolded by my wife because she'll leave the drawer open and say, see this? It goes there. And I'm like, wait a minute. It's trash, right?
Yeah.
No, this trash belongs in this one. This one goes into this one. This city makes money off of this recycling thing.
Yeah.
This city now gives you 3 garbage cans so that you can pay like $1,000 a month for all the different things that you have to put in all the different trash cans. Yuck.
Yes. Yes. All right. So I'm with you. Eco-shamed. But you know what? Old dog, new tricks. We got to learn something. And the kids are 3 out of 5 parents now say they've been eco-shamed by their kids because their kids have learned here's what you do to protect the planet, right? And that's the way that goes now.
We've come a long way, E, from when the commercial with the Native American guy standing on the side of the road and somebody throws some trash out the window and a tear comes out of his eye. Do you remember that commercial way back? You're too young. You may be too young to remember that.
I remember it. I mean, that was a GSD&M ad, was it not? Or was that not the Don't Mess With Texas deal?
Oh, no, no. This was way...
It was an Indian dude, like chief?
Oh, no. He was a chief. He stood on the side of the road, and they would throw... Somebody threw, like, a McDonald's bag out and hit his feet. And then when he looked up at him, he had a tear coming out. This goes way past Don't Mess With Texas. This is way back there. Olds will let you know when that came out.
All right, I'll look that up. New survey asked people which foods put them in a good mood and then a bad mood. Foods that put people in a bad mood, top 3, donuts, alcohol, and soda. They're all related, right? Alcohol is a depressant. Donut, you get the immediate taste and sugar high, but then the crash that comes beyond that. Soda would be in that same category, I think. Top 3 most good mood foods, coffee, dark chocolate, and grapes.
Lasagna.
No grapes. It says grapes here.
I can buy that because you know what? Anytime I go to HEB, I get a new thing of grapes no matter how many grapes I have back here. And I eat them all day long. See? I love grapes.
Nice flavor, nice and crispy, mm-hmm. especially cold. I like cold grapes or warm grapes that are left out room temperature?
Mine's are warm. They're room temperature.
Okay. All right, a couple others. National Popcorn Day is today. Favorites, according to surveys, are butter, salted, and white cheddar popcorns. Ooh. So those are the top 3. Popcorn, you can't taste anyhow, so it all tastes like no popcorn.
I like buttered popcorn.
Yours tastes like popcorn peanuts currently.
Yeah, with the hole in the bottom of the box.
And a new survey asked people, this is a woman in England. Remember we told you this was one of those salacious gossip Hall of Fame stories where Gwyneth Paltrow, the actress, was selling candles that smelled like her vajayjay, her lady parts. Well, somehow, someone in England bought that candle and it exploded. Like it was an inferno shot out. And the woman's boyfriend got the fire under control. But that's a concerning story for Gwyneth Paltrow and her candle.
The volcano erupted, huh?
Apparently. Apparently. I don't know.
Wow.
Salacious gossip brought to you by Bud Light. Let's hit your Blitz.
The Bucky and E Blitz.
The Morning Blitz brought to you by Apple Leasing, where you only have to pay for the new half of the car or truck, the half under factory warranty, in any make, any model. Click appleleasing.com and see how easy it is.
Boy, that story almost made me choke right there. Sorry about that. All right, first Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, was the fat kid Mike Gundy referencing James Larden, or am I wrong?
James Larden. Larden was wearing a fat suit, it appears. Larden. He's now down like 30 pounds in 3 days. It's unbelievable. He must have did the soda weight loss thing or something.
Incredible. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Bucky, this is Don Cornelius. We're doing a Soul Train reunion. You want to dust off the platforms and dance the line?
You got that right. I do need some line dancing. Yes, because I was Jermaine Jackson with my brothers when we did the Jackson 5. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, everything will be all right. I'm going to give that GM from the Mets a pardon. This is Donald Trump.
Oh, boy. Well,
today's the last day, right? Or tomorrow before noon? Is that the deal?
Yes. Next, Blitzer, you're up.
Yeah, I'm constantly being echo shamed because I can't seem to get my side chicks recycled.
Nice. That sounds like a personal problem right there.
Yeah, problem there. Next, Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, Bucky.
Yes.
This is Chepito, man. When are you going to give my stepdaddy, Chad, the blitz back so I can call in the afternoon on my work release program?
They'll never have it back again. They destroyed it. They destroyed once was a great blitz. They have destroyed it, never to get it back again. Next, Blitzer, you're up.
My hat goes to the international journalist who was fingered by the Met general manager. It's just a shame.
Hey, listen, you guys are killing me on the blitz as I said that finger. That was I was quoting the journalist. I was just reading
Absolutely.
Her quote. Jump
hey,
me for
you
her
know how
quote.
You know how these people are.
I do know how
Next
these
blitzer.
People are.
Next blitzer, you're up.
Y'all let that bigot jigger back on.
Yeah, no more bigots. We don't need bigots on the blitz.
No, we're not doing that. We're just not doing that. Gator's welcome back now. Or Digger, whatever his name is. Next blitzer, you're up.
Sorry, Bucky. Breaking news. Donald Trump is going to pardon Pam Cummings today.
What?
And maybe Joe Exotic. What does Pam Cummings need pardon for? What is
no,
her crime?
No, she doesn't. Don't pardon her.
She's got a crime.
Some would think her crime is. Next, Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, Buffalo Bucky.
What's up?
Hey, isn't that why you got kicked out of the Fiesta parking lot? Because you were fingering the...
No. I was trying to get the baggers to help me with the couch. That's all. Help me get the couch in the truck. Next blitzer, you're up.
Oh, no.
Hey, Bucky!
What?
Hey, man, you had a candle. Guess what it smell like?
He's nuts.
I should get my own camera. Right
Shut it down! Let's go home!
By the way, I was not trying to be funny with that. I was reading the woman's... This is her exact
Are they on
quote.
You? They don't
Women
miss a thing,
are the
do they?
Ones who get the get fingers pointed at them. I don't want to go through the victimization process again. I don't want other people to blame me. Didn't say finger. I read her quote.
These people are special.
These people.
Yes, absolutely. They don't miss a thing.
They never do.
No.
Fake news, people. It's fake candle news, too, it says here. By the way, Buck, Crying Indian, 1970.
Yeah.
1970, and CB has already sent it to us in a GIF on Twitter. Awesome.
It's amazing.
Hey, that was only like 50 years ago.
Yeah.
We'll be back. B&E on the Horn. Rolling on a Tuesday. Grab your umbrella.